If you look at evolutionary history, we are comprised of genes, and as biological organisms, those genes are kind of the blueprints to some degree of who we are and how we work. And so if you look at kind of Charles Darwin, the theory of natural selection, and you look at a lot of the early work by Gregor Mendel, you probably see intro biology textbooks, you know, that they were playing around with peas and seeing how genes kind of reproduced in successive generations.
Ian Moreau, a researcher at the University of Manitoba, who is doing his PhD on environmental and socioeconomic risks and benefits of genetically modified crops, led a discussion at the University of Winnipeg on November 3, 2005, on genetically modified organisms, GMOs, and related issues. Moreau has been studying GMOs for the past 4 years and has had the opportunity to talk to many world experts about the subject. During this time, he and others have also been working on a documentary, which will be released November 30th in Winnipeg, that deals with this issue and the impact GMOs have on farmers.
As it turned out, we had probably 57 acres that was affected by GM canola. I'm not talking GM, it was proven through lab tests done by Monsanto that it was genetically altered canola.
But unfortunately, the scattered plants that were left in between his windrows, in between his swaths, were sitting there on top of the stubble, and every subsequent wind that we had, which there were probably four or five, blew more plants over the roads. Every time you go in with a garbage bag, you hit more plants, and then more coming in.
The video has been consuming my life lately. I am completely overridden by all this.
In this last part of our three-part documentary, Ian Moreau is going to talk about a documentary titled Seeds of Change that he and others have done and which deals with corporations such as Monsanto and genetically modified organisms and the way they affect farmers. Moreau also talked about a fight with the University of Manitoba him and others have had to undergo in order to be able to release their movie.
We made a research documentary about the farmers that, when I was talking about at the beginning, just the research that we do, we interact with farmers, we go and interview people. We made this video 3 years ago about farmers' experiences with GMO crops, and the university has systematically blocked the release of our film. And they, ironically, a film that deals with these ideas around GMOs and intellectual property and patents over, you know, ideas and knowledge and biology and whatnot, has been blocked by copyright. So the university has, uncharacteristic to any other research outcome at a university, whether it be a peer-reviewed publication, a book, a painting, the fact that we made a video, there was an outdated bylaw in the collective agreement at the university that allowed the university 50% of the copyright over the movie. And had we written a book, the university would have had no copyright. We would have had all control over it. But because it was a video, the university got control over it. And they wouldn't allow the release of the film. For various reasons, most notably, they were scared that the biotech industry was going to sue the university. And explicitly in many documents and emails, they mentioned Monsanto. They were afraid of Monsanto. They were afraid of Monsanto. They were afraid of Monsanto, the biggest biotech kind of crop developer in the world. And they wouldn't release their 50% of the intellectual property unless we had insurance, unless we indemnified the university personally. So we actually signed an affidavit or an agreement saying that we would protect the university, which is flipping the idea of a university on its head. You know, the university exists so that we have a space to put out independent research, and we're free to do so, academic freedom. And the university flipped that on its head and put a huge amount of pressure on us and was trying to download all risk associated with the video onto us. Beyond that, they wanted us to publicly lie and say that it had nothing to do with the university. We've got all the documents. The university was trying to get us to sign agreement saying that we made it on our own time with our own resources and it wasn't a university project. And like literally like these, this, I have this one page sheet with like all these demands on it, and it was like lie, you know, lie, lie, you know, expose yourself to, you know, having to give up your first, you know, child kind of demands. Like it was literally that crazy. And then the footnote was, you know, we're really concerned about Monsanto basically. And at the end of the road, 3 years of fighting the university, an independent lawyer told us that we couldn't sign the demands. It was too dangerous to us. There was other complications, and so I, you know, it requires a huge amount of time to fully hash out the story. But at the end of the road, the university, the same administration that blocked the release of our film, largely critical of Monsanto, ended up having Monsanto relocate their Canadian corporate headquarters to the University of Manitoba. And so the same company that the university said they were concerned about is the same company that they ended up getting in bed with and partnering with. And so you can't wonder, but you know, what's the connection there and why is that happening? Why is public research not getting out and private research and companies are coming in? You know, that's pretty troubling. So that's what's happening. We went public with it. The Canadian Association of University Teachers, which is a big national organization that helps deal with these issues when academics or their academic freedom is threatened, intervened on our behalf. They've been wonderful. They've been very kind of astute politically and strategically, and they've helped us to orchestrate a public campaign against the university that has basically made the university capitulate. They've completely ran from the issue, and they sent us a letter, I guess almost 2 weeks ago, that said, based on recent media reports, we understand that you believe that we've been blocking the video. You know, this is untrue. Actually, you've never asked for permission to show the video, is what they said to us. And it was just like, wow, like that's a bold statement. I've been fighting, Steph, my McLaughlin and I have been fighting for 3 years with the university, and they said that we forgot to ask for permission, is what their excuse was. And it's just like, wow, like that's brilliant. You know, in a place of higher learning and enlightened people, to blame it on that is just like, yeah, you guys are running the university for a reason. You're on top of things. You know, we forgot to ask for permission. It's just crazy. And then they said, but given the recent media reports, we understand that you are asking for permission, so we're willing to give it to you if you put a disclaimer on the video saying it doesn't represent the views of the university and that you have proof that all of the participants in the film agree to being in the film. And we would have done that in a second had they asked for that originally. So now we were going to release the movie regardless of what the university said. We were in a position where we were mounting enough publicity around it that we were just going to release it. And the CAUT was willing to do that with us, and they have an academic freedom fund where they were willing to fight and help us to do that, perhaps legally if it got to that. But the university rolled over before, you know, obviously damage control mode. And we don't matter, you know. The video apparently was developed, and the issues around the video were prior to negotiations with Monsanto. And the people that went to deal with Monsanto after us, obviously, yeah, the perhaps the film could have disrupted their ability to attract that particular company. There's a possibility of that, and so one has to ask, you know, is that why they stopped our movie from being released? And I think it's a pretty fair question. So the film, we've been given permission, you know, we're moving ahead regardless. That doesn't mean anything to us. And yeah, it's going to be screened across the country, and the press around this thing has been substantial. We've been contacted by reporters from Paris, Australia, people from Japan. Ironically, if the university had just let it go 3 years ago, it would have been a blip on the radar. Now it's on the front page of the Winnipeg Free Press, and big news organizations are sniffing around wanting to tell the story. And so it's pretty funny. It sucks, you know, and it's part of this whole thing that we've been talking about this morning is all linked into this, you know, the commodification of knowledge and the control over knowledge, whether it be a DNA sequence or whether it be academic researchers, like it's all kind of part of this whole system of control over, you know, information and who has the right to information and who has to pay for information, and you know, it's kind of scary.
You have been listening to the third part of a discussion on genetically modified organisms and a documentary dealing with this subject, which was led by Ian Moreau, a researcher at the University of Manitoba, who is doing his PhD on environmental and socioeconomic risks and benefits of genetically modified crops. Moreau has been studying genetically modified organisms for the past 4 years and has had the opportunity to talk to many world experts about this subject. My name is Bojan Dulabic, and this documentary was produced for CKUW's The Beat, 95.9 FM, Winnipeg.